ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
In my 27 years as a Victorian policewoman, I investigated everything from a stolen bicycle to a stolen life. Policing taught me a lot about human nature, which I explore in my podcasts with a variety of fascinating guests discussing the human side and impact of crime, not only on their lives, but mine as well. My podcasts are not suitable for children and some adults for that matter. If you find yourself affected by my subject matter, please contact Lifeline or any other support service or person that you feel comfortable with. My guests provide their recollection of an event or incident, sharing their thoughts and their emotions, but it's theirs and not everyone will agree with them. I understand that and I hope you do too. Thank you.
And I'll never forget, I was down on the ground trying to handcuff a prisoner and I had gas in my eyes. And then behind me was two prisoners stabbing each other. And it was like you were in a war zone. And I ended up seeing the footage of that and I was like, God, I was lucky they could have just stabbed me in time.
Today's part two of my interview with Peter, the prison officer. For those who didn't hear it, I'll just bring you up to speed. Peter was a prison officer for 12 years, and in that 12 years, he saw a lot. He spent time at all our major prisons here in Victoria and learned much about life on the inside. He has some salient points about the prison system as a whole, which wouldn't just be relevant to Victorian prisons because they're pretty much the same everywhere, here in Australia at least. Why aren't there more educational programs in prison? And look, I could be wrong, but I'm of the belief that they tend to be offered educational programs after they've finished their stint in prison. So obviously they struggle to find meaningful employment and somewhere to live due to their lack of money. Why aren't we doing more for them during their sentences when they've got so much time on their hands? And I know many of you will think, who cares about offenders in prison? But if we don't care and we do nothing, many will just reoffend upon their release, returning to the life that they know. And because of that, any one of us could be another victim to one of their crimes. Peter says that we on the outside would be horrified at some of the conditions that our worst criminals endure, having taken a life or ruined a life. Oh, they've got 8 hours out in the fresh air. They go to boxing classes, fitness programs. They go to the gym and they do what they love, keeping themselves fit. And I'm not saying it's a breeze, but from Peter's description, they aren't exactly doing it hard either. Many of these criminals, prisoners, have tortured and murdered innocent people who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And according to Peter, they just don't seem to have much remorse, and that is a difficult pill to swallow. Peter shares his concerns about the training regime for a prison officer, with the emphasis being in all the wrong places. Conflict resolution cannot be learned on a PowerPoint, surely. Putting a 21-year-old in a prison officer's uniform spells pretty much disaster to me. And to Peter, maybe not disaster, but certainly trouble. So this week, we hear some concerns that Pete has about the lack of training prison officers receive and how important it is to learn de-escalating techniques, how to show some empathy for the prisoner's situation, to listen to them, give them time to tell what's bothering them. These are the type of skills that Pete believes should be taught for a week, not an hour on a PowerPoint. Yep. He's of the belief that you do role play after role play after role play until the assessors believe that you, the prison officer, are ready to actually practice those skills in the real world of angry, disillusioned prisoners who hate the world and hate the person in that prison officer uniform. He also tells us a lovely story about taking time with a prisoner who'd gone on a rampage. He'd wrecked his cell and nobody could calm him down. But Pete was able to, because Pete didn't yell. He listened and he responded calmly and he was honest with the prisoner. Pete would love to see more programs for prisoners, programs that teach them some skills to give them on their release from prison. He also told me about this new drug that's finding its way into prisons, which would be almost impossible to detect. I've learned so much from Pete, and I think you might too, in this last week two of my interview with Pete. Have a good week. Thank you. You've got some concerns about some aspects of the course that a trainee prison officer receives. And and I'm actually blown away. I'm really surprised to learn, when we had a bit of a chat prior to today, that conflict resolution is a PowerPoint lesson. Have I got that right?
Yeah, basically. It's like most of the course is a PowerPoint lesson, other than a few different modules of it where it's got to be sort of practical type of stuff. But yeah, conflict management's more about people coming in and talking through a lesson plan and looking at a PowerPoint, and you may practice for an hour about some role playing with another squad member, you know, with conflict resolution. But I joined the job in 2002, then I rejoined the job in 2017, and the training practice hadn't changed. It was the same 8 weeks, same, a couple of little things might have changed, but Same. Like, to me, it's got to be 12 weeks. It's got to be, it's got to be more placement. So having 2 weeks placement where the prison officer recruit goes in, they work alongside another prison officer. They can't do anything other than maybe answer phones, give out stuff at the console. They can't respond to codes. They're not allowed to do anything like that. But I just think they need to do more placement so that their hands are getting dirtier more often, so they're more confident when they get out there and graduate. 8 weeks is not enough, and you can't learn off PowerPoints. I don't care what anyone says. Anyone can come in, any person, corrections would bring in and deliver a package. This person may not have prison experience of 10, 12, 15, 20 years. It could be just someone from training and learning and development, or an officer that's been in the job 12 months will put his hand up. And so I want to deliver that package, but what life experience have you got? Show me some experience you've had dealing with prisoners who are irate, and tell me what you've done about it to de-escalate. So the wrong people are getting brought in to either run the squads or to either take these lessons. But conflict resolution, and I'm including communication skills here as well, which all ties in, I believe should be a couple of days. And a whole day of it, whether it sounds boring or not, should be practical, should be hands-on, role play after role play after role play, until the assessors are comfortable that person can de-escalate. That's how I think it should be. Because I've been in situations where I've had to de-escalate some of the worst criminals in our state, and I've de-escalated them just through my own life experience and who I am, being able to talk on the same level. Not swear and not
maturity too, Pete. But it's about maturity, isn't it? As you say, life experience.
It is 100%. So, like a 21-year-old will come into the job. Now, mind you, I'll defend some 21-year-olds here, by the way. We've had some young 21-year-old females join the job and have been fantastic. They've been great. I'd take them to me in a code any day. because they've been great. So
yes,
there are some really good ones out there. However, there's some just young people that have got no life experience, and if they're working in a high security, they could be rostered on day one after recruitment into our high security unit and have to escort high-profile prisoners around all day. Now, if a prisoner has a go at them about something, tell me how they're going to respond to that. One or two things can happen. They can either go in their shell a little bit and not really get involved, or they can go the complete opposite and show a lot of favoritism so they can get brownie points off that prisoner. Now, that can happen as well. I've seen it. So, you know, you need more time to be able to get well-balanced people to be able to work through conflict management. You need more time to do it. And you're just not, I don't know, it just seems that no one wants to make a decision at the top. You know what? Let's make this recruit squad longer. How long does the prison police officers go for? 3 months or something, isn't it?
No, it's five.
5 months. So I know they go through a lot more, but yeah. 8 weeks is not enough. It's not enough. There's no way.
In fact, I would say, pardon me, I would think that it's more important the communication skills and your de-escalation skills is more important than almost the physical side, because if there's so many times as a police officer that I, and again, I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal. I'm just saying when you've got communication skills and you can talk to somebody, and a lot of times it's about listening. It's not about, I've learned about the words, calm down, listen to me. They don't work. A lot of times it infuriates the person, but it's about listening, isn't it? Sometimes all they want to do is vent. They don't want an answer. They just want to vent. And sometimes I think if you let them go and vent, they'll run out of breath. Yep. They'll run out of, you're not engaging. So they think, well, what's the point? I think communication skills are very, very underrated in most workplace training programs, whether that be prison, police, anywhere where you need de-escalation. Oh, the communication skills. And like you say, it might be, I don't know, a PowerPoint or a one role play. That's not enough. It should be, like a week. And then, and don't start me, you've got me on a roll here, because also about the mental health, I think we all, again, all these emergency service, prison officers, et cetera, I think we should be highlighting a lot more and doing a lot more about learning about our own mental health. And when it's time to say, you know what, I need a break, or I'm not managing, just the education with communication skills and mental health, I don't think is near enough.
No. Well, I'll
the
give
world
you an example.
According to Narelle.
I'm with you. I'll give you an example. Just
I thought you might be. Yeah.
I had to go down to a unit one day. A prisoner was going off in the high security unit, and what he was doing is he was smashing up his cell, and then he was threatening to self-harm with the pieces that he smashed up. So normally you'd go down to a cell like that, and if he didn't respond to you, or if he didn't play the game, you'd end up doing a cell extraction. It gets messy, really messy, right? So I went down there, and there's a few, like obviously a team of us went down there. There's probably about 8 of us outside his cell. And I knew the prisoner a little bit. I had some dealings with him, but not a lot. And I thought to myself, I'm in this for the long haul, right? So what I said was, he was yelling out and carrying on screaming. So I said to everyone else, back up, move down the end of the hallway. Yeah. I'll stay here on myself, right?
Yeah.
And what I'd done, this took half an hour to do, but I laid on the ground next to his cell to talk to him. And I laid on my stomach and listened to his concerns.
Yes.
I talked to him on our level, and it took a lot. Like, I didn't think I was going to get there in the end, but it did. And the outcome was we had to opened up the trap, put his hands through, handcuffed his hands through the trap and secure into the door. Then what we do is we open the door and staff can go in there and clean his cell out so he can't harm himself. That's all we wanted to do. And I had to explain to him that, so he didn't trust anyone else. So, but I was with him the whole way. I had handcuffed him. I'd put my hand on his back to reassure him that everything's going to be all right, blah, blah, blah. The outcome was beautiful. It worked perfect. Now, I know that not everyone can do that, but sometimes you've just, they're not going anywhere. And neither are we really, because that's our job. So just, you know, you've just got to be able to listen to their concern, but at the same time, you need to be moving forward in where this is going, because otherwise you get stuck there. And not everyone can do it, but I was just lucky on the day that he'd come around and no one got injured.
But you say that not everyone can do it, but that's the sort of skills that I think you can learn communication skills, and some people do have an innate ability to be able to just have that extra skill. But you still can learn skills like that about, and that's something I learned about when we deal with kids that have been traumatized or whatever, that instead of standing up and, you know, they're down below your knee sort of, that I've done that before where I've laid on the ground with a kid. And as you say, just to get down to their level and talk to them on their level. And I think you can learn that. Like, I get exactly what you mean, but I take my hat off to you. Isn't it a shame that, and we'll get to this shortly, but isn't it a shame that you're no longer there and they have somebody like you to see it can be done? You can talk to people. It's just about patience and it's about time and it's about listening. It's not about yelling. Yelling back to them is going to do nothing except exacerbate the situation.
And if you think about it, we're in a uniform that basically represents the police. And if we start dictating to prisoners, how do you reckon they ended up in prison in the first place? Because a policeman arrested them. So they already hate authority. So if we continue that authority on the inside, not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, if only there were more people like you and I around. We're perfect, aren't we, Pete?
Try to be. I just wish that out of these podcasts that we do, that there's people out there that listen to it and maybe take some advice on board about actually taking some action if you want change.
Don't
sit on your hands.
I hope somebody's out there listening, Pete.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there is.
I'm quite sure they are.
Hey, have you worked in a female prison?
No, I never have. But lots of friends that work in female prisons. Yeah, never have. It's pretty similar. Pretty similar to the men's prisons. Obviously, the obvious, you know, prison is a little bit different. But yeah, I can't really say much about the female prison system.
Because I was wondering, of course you would get, you know, the leaders and the ones that are troublemakers and the ones that are just nasty. Oh, look, I don't know, maybe I'm living in another world here, but I would think the female prisoners wouldn't be as violent as the men. Would you have a thought on that? Or
depends which prison we're talking about. There's two in the States. Tarangawa is an open camp, and then there's the maximum security one in Melbourne. But I have heard reports out of there that can be pretty violent as well. That can be pretty bad. Yeah. I don't know specifics, but I have heard that it can be. You wouldn't think so, but, yeah. And I think it was in the politics.
I know this is a ridiculous question in a way, but if you had a magic wand, what would be some of the first things that you'd start changing with the way prisons are run?
First thing is what we already talked about with the recruit selection. So that's if my magic wand could appear, I would go, bang, change it. Don't talk about it, just change it and do it. Everything we talked about the recruiting before. Diversity in leadership, that's what I thought of before. For example, people management and life skills over university degrees. Now, I say this in all organisations, not just corrections, but there's a lot of organisations that if you've done a uni degree, all of a sudden you're the most experienced person to lead a team. It doesn't always work like that. You can do a university degree and have no life experience whatsoever. And what you've done is you've studied and you've listened to lecturers and you've done everything to get that degree and certificate, but it really doesn't cut it when you're leading a team of prisoners or any staff, any government places where they organisations like this, is maybe select people with management skills and life skills over university degrees. That's one thing that I would change, because there's some good people out there that haven't got a university degree but can really lead, but has a lot of respect, yeah. Can lead a team.
I agree more. Yeah.
And you've got to start looking at people like that. You don't have to have a university degree to make good change. The other thing I would change is programs in prisons. And I'll give an example. So for prisoners to get their parole, basically whilst they're in prison, they tick the box to get parole. So if there's a violence course or offending behaviour courses in prison, you're only doing it to tick a box. Very, very minimal will take anything out of it whatsoever. They're in prison, they're busy people in there. I know that sounds funny, but they've always got something to do in prison. All right, so it's like, it's got to tick a box. I'll do this course, I'll tick the box, I'll get parole, I'm out of here. But, you know, I haven't seen a program developed yet that has meaningful outcomes. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm just sort of putting it out there. That makes prisoners come to the course and want to change their offending behaviour. There's the old violence, cog skills used to be around, cognitive thinking, behaviours and all that. They all just do it for tick a box and get parole. We don't really want that, because these people are going to get out and go live next door to us one day maybe. So I just think if they could have a program developed that's meaningful and it's attractive for prisoners to want to go and change their behaviours, I don't know the answer, but that's what I would do. What else? I know there's every prison is different, mind you. So open camps and medium security prisons may have some of this in place already, I'm not sure, but trade skills education. So there's a shortage of trades in the community right now. But if you could do a pre-apprenticeship course in prison, it goes for 16 weeks, a trade, so that when they get out, they've got a certificate that can go towards doing a machine.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Two-wage apprenticeship to something meaningful so they can get out and get a job. Don't put them out on the street with no skills, because they're going to come straight back in. That's all they know. Give them a skill inside so they've got some chance of surviving outside. And it could mean things like car license, truck license, forklift license. There is some prisons that do that already, I believe. But I just think you've got to hone down on these type of courses so that there's a better chance they'll stay out.
So can they at the moment, do they run any sort of courses that you're aware of where they do learn a trade like plumbing or a sparky or?
No, I haven't heard of it.
That doesn't make sense, does it? Time in the world.
Yeah, I don't want to speak out of line because there may be a medium security prison in the state somewhere that's doing it. I'm not sure. There might be an open camp where they're doing it and they do some, like open camps you can do, I think you can do farming courses maybe or something, but I just think there's trade centres in the community where anyone can go and do a pre-apprenticeship course, build a trade centre in a prison and get people qualified, get them up and about, get them traded up so that when they do get out, they can present themselves at a location to say, I want to do a mature age apprenticeship, I can get some government funding maybe, I've done my course inside. It just seems a no-brainer.
I don't want to be full of negativity, but I'm just thinking now, if you did have a course, let's say for, any trade, I suppose what you'd have to do if they learnt that in prison would be you'd have to have tools, which could be weapons, and I suppose that's always an issue in a prison is articles that can be made into weapons.
Look, that happens a lot. Look, Bowman, we've got gardeners, but they're also supervised by staff members that when they're doing their gardening, that all tools are accounted for, they're all locked away and secured, they do it very well there. Everything's security, security, security. So they can do it. You can have tools and everything. It's just got to be supervised correctly and people doing the job correctly, and then it'll be fine. Like, you can do that easy. That's it. It's really easy.
Yeah. Hey, you were telling me about a situation which could have very easily changed your life for the better, like around $50,000. Can you tell us about that incident and how often that something like that would happen?
Look, I did get one day in my career, in my 12 years of prison service, I did get a prisoner ask me to bring a phone in, and it was somewhere for the amount of, I think it was around 50, might have been 40 or 50 grand to bring a phone into the prison. And I thought, God, you've got me wrong, mate. So I ended up having a bit of a chat to this guy and said, listen, you've really approached the wrong person here. My career and my family life are way more important than you. So you've picked the wrong target. And obviously, I had to report that straight away anyway. So things like that happen. Your integrity's got to be high in the job and you've got to report stuff like that. So, but, yeah, it happens. Like, maybe I could be that young 21-year-old prison officer that's scared and a bit anxious and they get offered that. I don't know. I don't know anything that has gone when I was at Bowen. I don't know. We're not privy to that. But it could easily happen.
I'm thinking to myself now, and that's probably it happens in life. I know that, but let's say a 21-year-old trainee that's just come out of training. I think some prisoners, as in people in general, some people can be very, very manipulative and very, very clever.
Yeah,
and that would concern me. That and also, I think people, let's say an offender, a prisoner, would be very good at picking out the vulnerabilities of some of the younger prisoners, prison officers.
Yeah. Well, they got time on their hands. So it could take 12 months to groom someone.
Yeah, yeah.
I reckon if I was a prisoner in prison and put my feet in their shoes, my students, you know what I'm trying to say. I reckon I could nearly get someone to bring something in. Because what happens is you've got time to groom someone. And
It
could take 12 months to become their friend. And it doesn't matter because I'm doing 10 years. So if I can take 12 months to groom a certain officer to bring a phone in or drugs or whatever, I reckon you can really pull it off. It just depends who you target as the officer. The difference is that officer, this is where integrity comes so important. As soon as something like that happens, you have to report it up the chain. Integrity is a big thing in the system. Otherwise, if you don't report it the first time, it gets beyond, it gets past you, and you've got no choice but to bring something in because that prisoner has threatened you. He threatens your family. I can find out where you live. He may know something about your life that he'll use in 10 months' time to make a threat.
Yeah.
And it could be something like, I know you live in this town. I could easily have a friend go to that town and find out where you live. Now, can you bring something in for me? When that person gets scared, oh, I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, of course.
You're going to be forced to bring something in. So it depends how you respond. Yeah, it's human nature.
Yeah.
And I reckon if I was a prisoner, I'd want to get a phone in there too. So I could ring me missus for nothing. I'd try, but look, I'm just speaking. Not really, but you could.
But that's my point. That's what we're saying, isn't it? That, as you say, they've got time to groom somebody that they just find a little bit of a chink in their personality, a little bit of a vulnerability, and they've got time to just, you know, chip away at it until, as you say, you know, the young prison officer gets scared and you only have to threaten somebody about their family, and it's a whole new ball game, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially if the prisoner is a high-profile prisoner and you know they've got contacts.
As soon as
you say the very first time, if you don't nip it in the bud, the very first time you have dealings with that person, you might as well start, you might as well give up your job because you're going to be forced to bring something in because somebody in your family's just been threatened.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Hey, That's a beautiful segue into my next question about drugs. You just mentioned then something about bringing drugs into a prison.
Yeah. Yep.
You taught me something the other day, a word that I had no idea what it meant, and it's called boopoo. Is that right?
B-U-P-E. It's called boop. It's called, I think it's short for a longer word, buprenorphine or something like that. It's like a methadone.
Yeah.
It's like a to help prisoners get off the drugs, which is great. It's a good thing for prisoners who are suffering a drug addiction. They come inside and they're getting help to come off the drugs. It's great. There's methadone, they can take that, and there's this bup. So, look, prisons have become really good with stopping hard drugs coming in as far as like, ice or, they've got good at their security and it's hard to get it in now. But the unfortunate thing about bup, it's just like a bit of paper. It's dissolvable. And you can people that have drug addictions in the community can get a prescription and get it from a chemist. So it's very hard to detect. It's like just a small bit of paper. It could be the half the size of your fingernail could be worth $250 for a deal.
It's
hard to detect, but they're getting better at it. Like it's getting very, very good at detecting it now. But yeah, that can come in. Like that's probably the key drug at the moment that comes into the system, and unfortunately, if drugs come into the system, it's a whole new ball game. It changes everything. There's more prisoner on prisoner assaults, standover. It's just a whole lot more. What happens there is if a prisoner has got himself in drug debt inside, what's one way of getting out of that is to bail, and one way to bail is to punch up an officer. So they punch up an officer, they go to a management unit, and they just got out of it. And that's the downfall. Unfortunately.
I was just thinking that would be so easy to get inside. I mean, it could be on a letter, on an envelope. It could be, like if it's just a piece of paper,
could be anything.
A tiny little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, but can come in. In many ways like that, but I've seen a lot that's been stopped, and obviously some do get through. Like But yeah, it's but from my understanding, it's not a drug that heightens you. It's not a drug that will heighten you to the extent like speed or ice would. It's more of a does the opposite effect. So it's like a relaxant type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was it after you're a prison officer for 12 years? What made you decide you'd had enough?
My mental health was telling me I had enough. I wasn't in a good way. Like I said before, I lost both parents, and I was really struggling with that. Struggling to work with people that took life when I was grieving over my mum and dad passed away. So that was hard. But then I guess just witnessing and being involved with so many incidents as well probably had a little bit to do with it. If I hadn't have lost both parents, I was probably going to be a little bit more stable, and that type of the job wouldn't have affected me, because I am pretty thick-skinned and I can see and witness anything that doesn't bother me. But I think the downward spiral for me was losing both my parents, and then everything else is like a domino effect. So any assaults that I'd been a part of or witnessed or, there was one assault there. There was one day where two prisoner groups turned on each other in their compound, and it was just chaotic. There would have been 30 people fighting in the compound, and there was an all response from staff, and there was gas sprayed everywhere. It was just chaotic. And I'll never forget, I was down on the ground trying to handcuff a prisoner, and I had gas in my eyes. And then behind me was two prisoners stabbing each other. And it was like you were in a war zone. And I ended up seeing the footage of that, and I was like, God, I was lucky they could have just stabbed me in time. Right. So these are the things you think about. There was just some sort of bad stuff that was going on in my life, and it got to the stage where, especially after Dad died, that I'd let things get to me. I let everything build up. And then I was driving to work and having to pull over on the side of the road because I was crying. I was a bit of a mess. And then 10 minutes later, I'd get myself together, drive to work and have to put on that brave face and be the strong mentor type of person I was. But deep down, I was really struggling big time. And then in the end, I had a couple of weeks off work and went back to work, and one of the operations managers come up to me at staff parade and said to me, oh, you've been off for a couple of weeks. Is everything all right? And I just broke down in front of him. I just couldn't believe it. I just let my guard down, and there was people around, and he said, come into my office. And this guy was fantastic, mate. He sat me in his office, gave me whatever time I needed off, went home, I never come back. I just never went back. I was in a bad way.
Yeah, and I think to myself, you're probably right about your parents. Sometimes you just need something like that to put things or life, let's say, in perspective. And you start to think, you know what, I don't need this negative workplace and clearly I think you'd had enough, and it was just thank goodness your supervisor treated you, with kindness and care, and it'd be nice if there was a few more of them around.
Yeah. he was great. He was fantastic, and I wish he had have been a gazetted governor there, actually, because the way he looked after this situation with me is what every operation manager should be about. And there is some there like that, and I'm in contact with now a lot, and they still check in, and I'm a lot better now. I'm a lot better place, and it's all good. But that's what I was saying before. Yeah, I do sometimes, actually. I do miss the environment and being involved in what's going on, and I do, but I know that wasn't a happy place for me, so. If I can get that, this is my sort of way back, is giving back, is trying to get the message out there to the powers that be, if they can listen and maybe take some action, improve the system. That's why I'm doing this.
Hey, we were talking, you said, you mentioned in passing before, you'd done a podcast with a guy called Russell Mansell, And I've got to say, I can't remember why somebody suggested I have a listen, but I did. And it was your interview with Russell. But I'm just thinking now, Russell, yes, what an amazing man. But he did a course, didn't he? Do some sort of a course inside, and it sort of started to turn his life around and change him, or was that when he got out?
No, I think from memory, I actually watched something on ABC, The Story. What's that show, The Story, something, Story?
Story?
Australian Story, yeah. You can Google Russell and watch that. It's actually a good thing what he went through. So I think he did do a program in. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, Russell, but he did do a program in there, and I think there's certain page of your life, certain time of your life in prison, I think the person's got to be ready as well. And I think it got to a stage where I think he was ready to do something as well. And, there was a course that I think turned his life around. And I'm not sure what it is, but when we speak about courses, you know, it's okay for psychologists to come in and deliver a violence course, but you know what else works as well? Is if they corrections let people come in like powerful mentors, powerful people that are like sporting identities, powerful people on the outside that can come in and share their stories and be a mentor. If I was in prison, I would want – I'm a boxing fanatic. I used to box and I love it. Someone like Jeff Fenwick come into a prison system and talk at a program that I was doing, I'd look up to him and I'm like – I'd be like, I want to change my life and be like him. So that doesn't happen.
Inspiring.
It doesn't happen. No one inspiring comes in. It's just workers in the prison deliver a session and – you know, sometimes you're just not ready for that. You just want to go back to your cell and watch TV and tick the boxes.
You know, I think, like you say, somebody like Russell, and just for the record, I think Russell had done, he'd spent a lot of time inside, and I think he'd done, I hope I'm right here, Russell, I think he'd done an armed robbery and, like, some fairly serious shit. But but completely turned his life around, and you can't help but admire him. And I think to myself, you're right. They should the correction should think about having people like Russell. I don't know how he'd go mentally about going back inside as a lecturer or to give a talk or something. But that's the sort of thing you need, isn't it? People
Absolutely.
That have lived experience rather than somebody that's as we were talking before, and taking nothing away from people that have got uni degrees and psychology degrees, but to have somebody with lived experience and see the person has turn their life around, I just think how motivating would that be, even if you just change one or two prisoners' thought patterns and thinking, I reckon I can do that. Russell just shows that he did some serious shit, but he's turned his life around. It's actually really inspiring. I must have a look at Australian Story.
Yeah, watch it. It's really you're exactly – you hit the nail on the head, seriously. Here's the type of people that they've got to get involved and get in. But you know what? They won't let them in because they're an ex-prisoner. You know, like, he's an ex-prisoner. And there's too many, red tape, politics, security risks. This bloke done 23 years. If I was a governor of the jail or I was worked in head office and I was the boss, go and talk to these people yourself. Go and talk to Russell Mansell and get a vibe on what she's about, and then approve for someone like that him to come in and speak to the boys. And that's what will get these young prisoners that are in there now, or any prisoner, thinking about someone that's changed their life and tell the stories.
Yeah. Like thinking outside the square, which is what I was saying to you before about, having that magic wand. Thinking outside the square about what can we do to get prisoners, to give them a bit of motivation or just to do something different other than, I know you love your boxing and I do apologise, but, something other than, a boxing a session in the gym or whatever. I think just do something different,
Yeah.
Anyway, look, Pete, I've got to say thank you so much for your time today and giving us an insight into the world few of us know. It sounds like you made a big difference to a lot of people, and particularly that man who you connected with, his mum. I mean, you only need to hear one of those stories, and I think to myself, you did make a difference. You know, it's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is. Thank you very much.
No worries, Pete. Lovely to chat, and good luck with everything, and thanks for taking the time to take us into that world. We've learned a lot.
No worries at all, Noel. Thank you very much for having me. I'm glad I can share my story.
Hey, so am I, Pete.
As you've probably noticed, we've moved to a new platform called Acast. I think that's the right expression, I've got no idea. And my previous reviews haven't transferred over. I need reviews. Could you do me a favour and put up a review? And thank you so much for your support and patronage. With your help, I can give you that little bit extra. Thanks.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.